You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast. This is our 22nd episode of season 6 for the episode The Ties That Bind, directed by Tara Miel and written by Ben Sokolowski and Oscar Balderrama. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I'm your other host, Amanda Konkin.
Look at that, we got through the intro with limited difficulty.
Because you remembered to look at the thing.
I did remember to look at the thing. I didn't interject while reading it.
That's good. Let's see if we remember to do this next season when we start podcasting. Yeah. We've done it for like the latter half of this season, sort of.
So, penultimate episode of the season. I
like the word penultimate.
Yeah, I love the word penultimate. And I like when I get to use it.
What is it? Is it the window shot is the last shot in a...
No, the martini shot's the last
shot. Martini shot is the last shot. The window shot then is the second to last shot? Maybe. Or the, what is it? The second to last shot is named after a person because he would always say it was the last shot and then it never would be. Anyways.
The martini shot is the last shot because after this shot, we're going to go have drinks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are 1 week away from the season finale.
Yeah.
Kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Realizing that I'm going to have Thursdays again.
Yeah. this episode.
The Abby shot. Second to last shot.
That's the second to last shot. The window shot might also be.
I think the window shot's probably the actual name for it. And then people started calling it the Abby shot to be snarky. Okay.
Yeah, I don't feel like this episode's really building to a season finale.
Except for the fact that it ends in the middle of a question. Like, I don't know.
How does it end? I forget.
She's like two things. Say it for me.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's like,
what's the second thing? And
then that's right.
It ends. So I can't remember the last time that there was like a talking cliffhanger ever. Yeah. On Arrow, where
it's
it was
not
like
somebody
a,
literally
it's not
hanging,
someone
over
like
a cliff.
Hanging over a cliff. It's like a,
I'm going to turn this down real quick.
Oh, no, the window shot is the last shot. It's also the martini shot.
Okay.
That's the one that's the two shots. And then the Abby shot is the second to last shot.
I apologize if there was some weird sound in there. I was turning down the gain on the microphone because we were looking really loud in the recording.
That's not at all like we tested it, though. We tested it and thought we were fine. Now we're just so loud because we started getting into our podcast voices.
Yep.
Which, when we talk to each other, we can like notice sometimes.
It's like the difference between the Power Rangers when they're out of their uniforms and then when they morph.
Yes.
It's like
it's that's true. We have a different. There's definitely sometimes where I'll come here and start talking to Mike and I'll start telling a story. He'll look at me. He's like, you know that we're not recording.
Every once in a while.
I know, I'm just telling you a story. But I have a podcast voice and it's usually just my talk to Mike voice.
We both do it though, or we both like slip into it.
Yeah.
As if we're recording.
You could just follow us around with a camera. It'd be great. I don't know why somebody hasn't done that yet.
I don't know.
Lost
everything. I don't know. It's almost like there's a few thousand people listening to this because they really like Arrow. And then there's like 20 of you listening to this because you actually like the two of us. That's kind of how I feel. And you're all supporting us on Patreon, and we really appreciate that.
You like it.
And you're listening to a regularly scheduled, which...
It's going to be sweet this week.
It's a good episode.
That was fun. We haven't had a fun chat like that in a long time.
No, and here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you want to hear this episode today, you got to go to Patreon.
Yeah.
Because it's early access for a week on Patreon. Everybody else will get it next week. But by next week, who knows what'll be going on with Donald Glover.
Yeah.
You got to be a part of the moment now as we discuss it, because it's very of the moment. It's very topical.
Yeah.
And also, like, Solo will almost be out by then.
Whoa.
It's so close, man. You're so excited. I can't, like, I'm, like, vibrating on the inside. I'm so excited about this movie. I can't handle it anymore. And it's, like, Deadpool is next week.
No way. Are you
Although,
serious?
I'm not seeing Deadpool until the Tuesday. Oh. But, yeah.
I could go to it on a Tuesday. That could be good, because it's Cheap Tuesday.
I'm seeing it at 4:45 because I've got that whole week off.
Oh, yeah.
So Aaron and I are going to go see it at 4:45.
Nice.
He's going to come out and we'll probably go for some chicken wings and then see the movie.
Well, that sounds like a great day.
It's going to be a good day. I'm very excited for that whole week. Crystal is not, because it's the week that she writes her exam thing. Yeah. And that she's been studying like crazy for. But that's on the 23rd, and then the 24th is my birthday, and Solo, and we'll go to the Spaghetti Factory. It's going to be a good day.
I know, you're so excited.
It's going to be a good day. I'm looking forward to it greatly. Hopefully nothing goes horribly wrong between now and then.
Yeah. I'm jinxing it now. It's terrible. I'm going to knock on this wood, because I believe in that. Don't know why.
But... it's a good thing. That's like the one thing you can buy from IKEA that's actually wood. Everything else is like press board.
All right, yeah.
So. Particle board, yeah.
Sometimes I just knock, even if I'm in a car, I just knock on the side of the plastic. I'm like, you know what? It's just something.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Let's read an email.
Yeah, that's good. Did somebody email to complain about you buying Solo tickets in the middle of the episode last
week? No, surprisingly, no one seems to care one way or the other.
That's great.
Not a single comment about it.
That's good.
I
guess because it's sort of par for the course that something weird sometimes happens in the middle of episodes. Just carry on.
This is from Megan, and Megan writes in and says, "Hi, Mike and Amanda. I hope I sent this in time for your recording." You did.
Yay.
Because we're recording a day late.
Oh, yeah.
Because you sent this in today at 6 o'clock.
Nice.
This episode was all right. It was nice to see everyone working together and not bickering. I think for the most part, they played like real people and not who the writers wanted them to be for the episode. On a positive note, Lila's back. She's awesome. I wish we could have more of her, and I love the dynamic between her and Diggle. But overall, I'm ready for this season to end and start fresh next year. No irrational and unnecessary drama would be great. Take care, Megan, in Panama City.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, nice. I mean, like, I'm kind of in the same boat. I really liked this season. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But breaking up the team was kind of obnoxious. But I actually... I'm okay with it because I like where we are now.
I love the burning everything to the ground and being able to start new next year.
Yeah.
That's exciting for me. You know, the only thing that I can keep thinking through this whole episode is me going like, why don't you just call Barry? Like, that was like this is my biggest thing.
The whole time
I'm
watching The Flash, because The Flash's season finale is 2 weeks out. There's two more episodes. Every time I'm watching The Flash, I'm like, you know that you know other superheroes, right? That like... the thinker is out thinking you, but like, if you like brought Felicity over or, you know, like here's an idea, Barry, just pop over to Star City real quick, deal with Diaz because you're the Flash and you could just deal with Diaz because he's just a dude.
Yeah.
Sometimes he doesn't even have a gun. Sometimes he just has a knife.
Yeah.
So just deal with him, lock him up.
Yeah.
Put them in the what are they called? The pipeline, that which is where they put all the metahumans. Like, just put them in there, because all you're unlawfully detaining so many people.
Oh yeah, just put Diaz in there. Nobody cares.
Just put him in there. No one will notice. And then let Ollie clean up the city or whatever. But like, he'll come over. He'll give you his resources. Just bring the whole team, and Argus can come, and everybody will be there, and he can deal with the thinker. Because I don't think that he could deal with everybody, but. These superheroes have too much pride.
Oh,
that's their
it's not the contracts that say that they're on one show versus another show.
No, because it's a problem in comics as well, and it's always a thing of like, there are moments where Superman's like, you know, I could just help you deal with this, Bruce, and then Batman's like, no, I'll deal with this myself. I don't need some alien coming in and fixing my problem. This is my city. You go deal with your city. And it's like, he just wants to help.
Yeah.
He just wants to help.
I do want to see, like, the AU where there is a Bruce Wayne of like a different, obviously not Bruce Wayne, but like somebody of Metropolis who just like starts doing all this stuff. And then he just realizes that he's like, there's just Superman. I'll just chill and be rich. And like, I don't need to do anything.
He just lets it go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or deals with real petty crime. Like, but he doesn't deal with the purse snatchers because he leaves those for Superman. But like deals with like the crime that's just like above Superman's pay grade and below Superman's
pay grade. I really feel like Batman with his detective skills would be better put to use. I mean, like, let's get rid of the bat motif and let's just, you know, like the gadgets and stuff is fine. The gear is fine, but like you don't need the cape. You don't need the pointy ears. You don't need to strike fear into the hearts of criminals. Use your detective skills and the fact that you don't have to have a search warrant to build evidence and like point the police in the right direction so that they can take down like criminals that affect everybody. Like, and I'm talking about like Wall Street criminals. Batman could do, like, Batman is rich enough and smart enough and he understands finance and he understands how rich people work, that he could work it from both sides of, like, he could get close to them as Bruce Wayne, but then go out as the not Batman and like help build the case against them and then take down like these disgusting, deplorable human beings who aren't necessarily clowns, right? Like
they're just the real bad people. Guys.
Yeah. Not gangsters.
No.
Not clown or crocodile men.
No.
Right. But
just
like
straight up bad people.
Just the real monsters.
Yeah.
Cause everybody Batman's punching in the face. The people with mental health issues.
Killer Croc
is like, I look like a crocodile. No one will give me a real job. Life of crime it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, how about we help reform this guy?
Yeah.
How about Superman takes him to a planet of all crocodile-looking people, and then everything will be fine. And then he'll be like, oh, I can be a contributing member of this society.
That's a good... yet underwhelming comic.
I feel
like we're writing here.
Maybe
we'll just podcast for a little bit.
I feel like that would be a great comic book.
It's good.
I feel like it's a really interesting story. And I feel like...
it ain't no saga.
It's no saga?
Saga.
You know what? I've completely lost interest in saga. They're just stacking up. I buy them for no reason.
Oh no, really?
Yeah.
I actually have legitimately kept up with saga. Which, like, I'm so proud of myself. I like ordered it from the library. Rented it. What is it called? I borrowed it from the library.
It's like everything with Brian K. Vaughan. He starts and the concept is just genius. And it goes and it goes. And then it just runs out of gas somewhere. And then he's just like, I guess they keep going. I guess it happens again.
Yeah, that's fair.
Saga is just so much of like... And then everything seemed like it was going to be fine. And then a horrible thing happens. You're just like, you know what? Enough. Enough already. Yeah. Anyways. I don't know.
Lila back, though. That is good. Lila's what back. Megan's mentioning.
Yeah.
Which is, I like Lila.
And all of the outsiders are back, but very quickly Curtis gets taken out of commission.
Yeah.
Which I think is
interesting. But doesn't die.
But he doesn't die.
Which is cool.
Did you think he was going to for a second?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like somebody needs to die. How do they keep going up against these whole police forces and nobody dies?
Yeah.
It's just wholly unrealistic.
I just like how is there not a governing body out there somewhere that can deal with this?
Yeah. It's just
and
like
why really... is Argus like, it's not our jurisdiction, can't do anything about it.
Yeah. And they're like,
it's like, but what? Like, what is your jurisdiction, Argus?
Yeah.
This man has infiltrated a city and taken over, and he's a crime lord, and you know it, and you have evidence, and you can...
yeah.
You could do something about it. Like, can you not, like, tell the governor? Like, the police force is corrupt. I don't know. I guess they don't have that evidence, and that's part of what this episode's about. But...
trying to get the evidence.
Here's an idea. Oliver Queen, you got some arrows... You got a bad guy. Shoot him in the head.
Yeah.
No one's going to be mad that you broke your code. Just do it. Just deal with him.
Yeah.
There's a scene, we'll talk about it. There's a scene where it's like, why, how, I don't understand. Here we go. We're going to get into the episode now. People on the screen. previously on Arrow. Doing a thing. The Quadrant are bad guys.
Look at all these Quadrant people, or at least the two that we're going to bring back in this episode.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, is it the same guy, or it is the same guy?
You'll notice that the one Quadrant guy remaining never said anything in the Dragon episode.
Doesn't say anything in
this one. He doesn't say anything in this one. He just stands there silently and then shakes his hand. And then Oliver was acquitted and everything's fine.
So he's not going to jail. But are they making eggs for dinner? That's weird.
that's so good because he's like, isn't the pan hot? He's like, it is immensely hot.
So good. Salt me, please, Felicity. Okay, so full disclosure, my recording.
This is the first time that you're seeing this. The
first 8 minutes, because I was really stoked. I watched the whole movie before I could watch Arrow, and then it wasn't even 9 o'clock yet, and I was like, "This is so great!" And then I had to wait because I'm like, obviously, I don't want to watch it with commercials. So then I was waiting, and it was like 9:08, and I saw that my little record thing was not like it wasn't red, and I was like, "No," because it's stupid when it doesn't record the 6 o'clock version. It just goes all the way to Saturday, and I'm like, "What makes you think that the alternative to this version of Arrow?"
Hey. Guess what, Felicity? Guess what, Felicity? You are upset because a good thing happened and you're being obnoxious.
Oh, no. What happened? I wasn't
paying attention. Like, she's all being difficult. And he's like, we're trying to have a nice night.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're over there pretending like you didn't almost just go to prison. And it's like,
yeah.
No, he's celebrating that he didn't go to prison.
This is exactly what they're supposed to do. Yeah, they're supposed to make dinner as a family.
Yeah. Felicity has a really hard time being happy. It's not Oliver. It's not Oliver that has the issue. Remember when they left? What was that in season 3?
And Felicity's issue.
She was helping the team. Right? He was fine with having left it behind.
Right. Yeah,
and I think that's really cool because that ties into last week's episode when Oliver says to his lawyer, this wasn't the plan, like,
right, yeah,
eventually like my mission was going to be over and I could go back to a normal life.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I do. It is a weird choice. Like, maybe it's fine, but I think they maybe built Curtis's character around his relationship and they don't quite know what to do with him stakes wise, except for give him another boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of like, what is it that Curtis cares about? And it's like the men in his life.
Yeah.
It's an odd character choice that I feel like if he was a woman, we would be criticizing a little bit more in our, like, analysis of that character. But because he's not, we don't really question this fact that we just give him boyfriends.
I think it also gets a pass. Like, I give it a pass.
Oh, yeah.
Intentionally, like, because it is a gay relationship on TV, especially a masculine superhero character.
Yeah.
Right? So he's not a stereotype.
Something bad's gonna happen because they're all really happy at their family places.
Except for Dinah, who's out there
has no family,
beating the snot out of people.
Yeah.
Because she has nobody.
She's just hayad.
I really like this because she's still slightly unhinged. We haven't dealt with that yet.
No. Yeah.
She's not grounded at the moment, right? She doesn't have anything to kind of tether her to her own sense of decency because she's not even a cop right now.
Right. Yeah.
She's just a Black Canary. It's her whole identity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their breakfast for dinner does look really good.
I guess it is, but that would be the worst thing to have to eat as an actor. Do they actually put any of it in their mouth?
No.
Because I'm like, potatoes and eggs that have been sitting out for a while.
No, something's about to happen. That was a good little bit of business that that William just did with the pepper.
Put pepper on his egg so he didn't have to eat it.
So they didn't have to eat it.
Uh-oh. Get out.
How these characters survive these moments at the beginning of this episode, I do not know. These guys are all on loan from the Empire because with fully automatic machine guns, they don't manage to hit any of the heroes.
The Empire. I was like, what gang is that?
what setup? What's the punchline
of this? What's the punchline of that? But I get it. It's funny because they're stormtroopers.
Yeah.
But like, honestly, why are they not
forked?
Why are they not dead?
Totally, I'm sure, unintentional Mystery Men reference there.
Oh, yeah. When he uses super unintentional.
So there's a scene that you've missed out on gold because that guy just got shot. He's been shot.
Yeah, and now...
And then this is so good because he's like, are you two okay? And then William's like, are they dead? And he says, no, but they're down. Yeah, they're down. But that guy who just got his head slammed in the door, he doesn't remember his name. Yeah. Or really much of anything else. He's going to be very confused when he wakes up. Yeah. He might think that he's a chicken.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to have some issues.
Something is going to be wrong.
He's going to be eating a lot of slop. A lot of like oatmeals and porridges.
What is his boyfriend's name?
I don't remember.
Oh, but he took a bullet for him. Aw. How are none of these people dying?
Exactly.
I don't understand why nobody's dead.
Yeah.
Like, it's making me mad that they're not killing. Also, speaking of, Detective Lance is not in this episode.
He's not in this episode
at
all.
And neither is Laurel, right?
Nope.
I don't think she's in this episode either. Anyways, why are they shooting up a hospital? Couldn't they have waited till he got back to, like, his house?
They don't care, but that's such a great Mission Impossible 2 moment.
It is.
John Woo was on loan.
Them fighting... This episode is one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Like, Lila and Diggle together is really cool.
He throws the T-sphere and deals with them.
Okay, well, he gets shot. But still, like, honestly...
That's what I'm saying. None of the heroes get shot, right? The only person who gets hit is his boyfriend.
Don't look... Oh, because he's got to shoot people?
Yeah.
Aw.
And he...
How does he hit them without... He doesn't even have to use any other, like...
Because he's...
Ooh, they bounce. Is that the answer?
No. She says, like, the great thing about sound is that they bounce.
See? Yeah.
I like that she, like, slams herself, but she, like, the guy breaks her, her fall.
Oh, yeah. It's good. Good times. How come they didn't just shoot her?
Exactly.
Like, whatever. Whatever. It's fine. And I think whenever they, William and Ollie have the little chat is when I... started or caught up on the episode, so
okay,
it's coming up very soon because I sense some emotional moments coming.
Mm-hmm.
That how is it still Starling? Is it still Starling City?
No, it's Star City now.
Oh, but they still call the hospital Starling General.
I guess so.
Interesting. Laurel's in the wind. What happened to Laurel last week? Was she being threatened by Diaz, or like did she double down on being evil? I can't remember. Oh, no, she's in trouble because she said it was Tommy, right? She's, like, the reason.
Yeah, and then at the end of the episode, she showed, like...
Oh, she tried to kill him and it didn't work.
So they have her.
Do they have her? Okay. Yeah. And that's sort of why we don't see her. Yeah, I thought they were going to deal with that this episode. They just didn't, so...
I think Detective Lance is going to die rescuing her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's totally, like, that's, if they're going to get rid of that character, it's so that Laurel then becomes the main character.
But it's okay, because his new series got picked up.
Oh, today, what's his new series? He has a new series?
The In-Between, I think is what it's called.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I didn't realize he's got a new series.
But yeah, so.
It's a good reason to leave a show.
Yeah.
To go on another show, if that's what you want to do. This is the speech that I was at. So, good. Emotional drama where...
Oh, it's not an IMDb yet because it just happened.
Diaz.
Yeah.
Anyways, they're all convening in the bunker because their bunker's not secure because I guess they know that it's not. Like, I don't...
Well,
because
it was compromised already, right? Like, all of the bugs and whatever.
Right.
And then you see in a second that they were right.
It gets burned to the ground. Is this going to be their new
record? Yeah, the In-Between. That's what it's called.
Cool.
NBC orders to series The In-Between about crime-solving ghost... Crime-solving ghost whisperer.
Oh, interesting. That sounds fun. I wrote a poem called The In-Between about little monsters that lived in the in-between of things. Anywhere where there was an in-between, it's like a different dimension. Little monsters live there. I made it into a children's book. It probably wouldn't be very popular.
The In-Between is about a character-driven procedural that follows Cassie Bishop, Harriet Dyer of Australia's Love Child. I guess that's like a show on Australia. Cool. A young woman who was born with a gift though she may call it a curse.
Oh.
She can see and communicate with the dead, helping them with their unresolved problems.
Like the Ghost Whisperer series that Jennifer Love Hewitt was in a long time ago?
But Ghost Whisperer, she was like helping people solve their person. That was like touched by an angel.
Yeah, that's fair.
This is crime solving, procedural. That's fair. When Cassie's longtime friend, Detective Tom Hackett, played by Paul Blackthorne.
Woohoo! He's playing another detective. Good lord, you've been
And his new partner, former FBI agent Damien Asante, need help solving a darkly puzzling murder. Cassie agrees to use her abilities. And despite her reluctance, she may have found a way to keep her demons at bay, all while solving some of the city's most challenging cases.
Nice.
It sounds like a good show. It sounds like a good show. Fast forwarding through the commercials. So the team's all back together, but it's not, they're not back together because the intro is just the Arrowhead.
Oh yeah. There's not all of them.
Yeah.
Sad.
But it's back to the normal, like classic intro.
That's intentional.
Yeah.
Right. Oh yeah. The Inbetweeners is like a British TV show. Is it not?
Yes. This is the In-Between.
In Between. Cool.
Yeah.
Not Between, which is a Canadian drama series.
We're back in. They're looking at the Hulkbuster armor on the thing there. No, it was a brain scan or something. Looked like the Hulkbuster for a second.
Of course. For Argus, he's small potatoes. He does not seem like small potatoes.
Yeah, he's taken over a city.
Yeah.
No, we're not interested in cities. What is Argus interested in? I don't understand.
I don't know. Some stuff. That is... other things.
So, his boyfriend's okay. I don't know where they took him because the hospital got shot up.
Well, no, they said something about Starling General, but I can't remember what it was. Or who was at Starling General? Somebody was at Starling General.
Maybe they took him to an Argus.
If you're going to get shot in a place, I guess the hospital is a good place to get shot. You have to get shot in one place. So, I do love that Felicity's been rocking sneakers for the last few episodes. Like, they're kind of cool sneakers.
I'm going to go ahead and point out that I'm pretty sure that those sneakers have a heel.
Well, they're, like, thicker sneakers, but they're still sneakers. I don't know. Is sneakers what they're called in America? What are they called in America? Kicks?
Well, I think that's... I don't think that that's a
what's the actual... It's not, but what's the actual word for them in America? Or is sneakers the American word? Runners. Is runners the Canadian word?
I don't know.
One of them is Canadian. What is it? I'm assuming maybe sneakers because they use it in Black Panther as a joke is the American term, and maybe runners is the Canadian term.
Okay.
I feel like there's definitely, I described my shoe once and somebody looked at me like I was crazy because I used a word and it was probably runner. They were like, what is a runner? Anyways, I'm talking over, there's a lot of exposition in this episode.
Yeah, it's so, a little bit rough at times, and that's probably why I feel like it's not that great, because it's a lot of talking.
Yeah. There's like, I don't know, it's like a weird, like, we're making plans, but like, working together, and I don't know. The only two cute moments are the Curtis telling everybody to suit up, I think it's kind of cute.
Yeah.
And the try getting a divorce episode, or piece of advice, right? Yeah. When I want just like a spin-off series of just, I guess it was season 3, but like of Anatoly and Oliver just like hanging out. Like not necessarily doing crime related things, but just like watching sports. And like
like an odd couple?
Yeah, like a little bit, because I feel like they have a good relationship where if they found something they enjoyed, they could have like a glass of vodka and like watch some soccer or something.
Soccer is the worst. And I'm going to alienate a lot of people by saying that.
It's not, it's, I'm not it is, in terms of, like, athleticism, I enjoy watching soccer players more than I enjoy watching any other athletes. Because their calves are freaking ridiculous, and they're usually pretty tanned. Like, just, like, all as right, a then. General rule. Football players are too covered up. Hockey players are too, their faces are smashed in a lot of the time. And they're also very covered up. Tennis is too sweaty, and you just sort of stand on a court. I don't know. Like, soccer is the most, like, appealing for just straight up just
it doesn't bother you that the men who play soccer get tapped on the shoulder and then act like they have a broken arm?
Well,
like, hey. That behavior is... It would undo any other feelings I have towards...
I don't know. I don't know. I don't watch a ton of soccer, so it's not like I can really say. Ooh, actually, rugby is another great sport to watch.
Okay.
They also wear shorts. It's delightful. Anyways.
Diaz B. Cray Cray. He's about to murderize.
He doesn't kill her here, but he kills her later, right? Does he kill her here?
Oh, yeah, maybe it's not. No, it's not in this
scene. She walks away here, but he kills her later. I was going to Google something, and I can't remember what it was now. We were talking about something, and then I was going to Google it before Anatoly started talking. Before we
soccer?
No, I was just going to start watching exposition? Soccer. I don't know. Something that is now, like, upsetting me that I'm like, I obviously was going to try to contribute to the conversation in a meaningful way.
You did not kill bees, you merely poked the hive.
Oh, yeah. That's good. I now remembered what it was. I was going to look up the director of this episode to try to talk about it.
So Anatoly here is actually kind of maneuvering. He's scheming against Diaz to basically make him vulnerable.
And I mean, I do want to say that Diaz, like, calls it. It's not, like, Diaz is not really, like, a stupid person. Like, he gets it. He like, at the end, he's like, you straight up were, like, trying to manipulate me. And he's like, no, I wasn't. I totally didn't do that.
Well, but Anatoly deflects it towards, the quadrant.
Yeah, but I don't know if he does it well. That's the thing, right?
Crystal watched this episode with me last night, and she made a comment as they were destroying the bunker. I don't remember what she said. There you go. Curtis got to stay suited up. She made some comment about them blowing up the bunker, and I was like, well, yeah, of course they're blowing up the bunker. It's been around for 3 seasons. It's time for a new set.
Yep, exactly.
The investment on that one is over. They got to do something to get people excited at Comic-Con.
Yep.
And it'll be a new set.
I'm really excited. This director, Tara, how did you pronounce her name? Mille, I guess?
Mille? I think it's Mille.
Hasn't done a ton of other stuff.
No.
I think it's kind of cool, though. Like, that. Like for all everything else aside in this episode, I'm never, like,
I don't know, who's pinging on the directing. Who are these guys,
though? Right? Like, the random...
Are they Argus?
I think it's Argus people, right? Like, that's why they have a little thing in their
just
ear.
Just murdering people.
It's just showing... Well,
because
I mean,
they're Argus,
is not,
so they're, like, military, so they don't care.
Right? That's exactly what it is, so...
I like that Oliver, if he was working with a supervillain, like, let's say if he was working with Black Siren, he'd be like...
You just killed those people.
No killing, right?
Yeah.
But if he's working with Argus, he's like, well, you guys are the military. I guess you're allowed to.
Yep. Exactly. I don't know, it's a weird double standard. This is like, is there literally nobody else that can go with him right now to track down Diaz? Like, how is there nobody else?
He's the number one priority.
Like, I'm just like, this is the least believable thing in the whole episode, is that. Also, where are his T-spheres? Like, why don't you use your T-spheres? Because they are the thing that is your superpower. I don't know. It's just a weird... Anyways, and he totally gets stabbed.
Yeah.
Yep. Totally thought he was going to die.
So all he has time here, you're the Green Arrow. Shoot him with the arrows.
Shoot him with an arrow. Why did you not shoot him with an arrow? I just don't get it. He shot everybody else in this episode and he didn't shoot Diaz. Like, it's so weird. I don't get...
Bola arrow, net arrow, shock arrow, arrow.
Any type of
arrow. Shoot him in the calves with 2 arrows. Do 2 arrows at once, 1 in each leg.
Yeah.
Like, done. He can't get away.
Any type of arrow. I don't know. It's this thing that they get to the 6th season and then people start asking these questions in the writer's room and they're like, eh, whatever.
Fast forward through these commercials here.
You just get
mad. The thing is that to me it was kind of lazy directing and I don't want to say lazy. It was a mistake of the directing and editing because the quadrant shows up a second later. If they had cut that differently, they could have established that it was...
Isn't it, like, an intentional thing, though, that he doesn't shoot Diaz or something like that? Like,
I don't think so.
He's specifically not...
No, Diaz didn't finish off Curtis because he...
Of the necklace thing, yeah.
Because of the necklace, but we're back in.
Isn't
I don't
that,
think that
like,
it was anything on
supposed to indicate
Oliver's
that part. Oliver saw Diaz do that? Like, isn't that, like, the thing that he's like, well, I saw him go after a necklace instead of a thing... What is this kind of sci-fi mumbo-jumbo where she's like, I have a signature that can detect technology? Like, what even is this? That she's like, how is she detecting what kind of a thing it is? From a sniffer or something? I don't know. She says something later.
They've used it like, previously. They've used it a couple of times, actually.
Ugh, it's so weird.
It's just a thing that can basically, like,
figure out what
find any hard drive and duplicate the contents.
Okay. So they're talking about going against it, and she just identified it by looking at it, right?
So Brooklyn Nine-Nine got canceled yesterday.
No way.
But good news.
Okay.
Fox canceled it.
And somebody else picked it up?
NBC picked it up already.
No
Which,
way.
Like, it's already made by NBC Universal.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it makes sense that they would get it. That's good. They probably had, what's it called when they have the...
First right of refusal or whatever? Yeah. That's awesome.
So Brooklyn Nine-Nine, not going anywhere.
Yay.
Except it's totally moving.
I was going to say, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is really good, isn't it? I don't really watch it that much, but
it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's apparently really good.
It's fantastic.
So. Yeah.
That was a very uncharacteristic me reacting to a notification in the middle of an episode. But breaking news.
Uncharacteristic.
Well, I don't usually. I don't usually check my phone during the middle of an episode.
I literally.
Hey, guess what, tech guy? Your grandma's life depends on it. Turns out this guy's not a bad guy.
He's just like some dude.
We're trying to establish that not all of the cops are crooked. Not everybody is crooked.
I guess. Like, but this we've never seen this guy before, right? He's just some tech dude.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why he has to be so overzealous with his pointing out the flaws in the system or things. Like, there's some stuff where it's like, I don't know. Like, why is... Anatoly can leave, can't he? Didn't he get accepted back into Russia? Why is he still here?
I don't know.
Like...
Because he's helping Oliver.
I guess so. It's a very good friend.
Plot reasons.
That's why he's still around.
Yeah.
It's good. I guess so. Diaz is so crazy. I mean, I love it because it's like, it's still so like apparent. Like the fact that he's taking out all the quadrant people, like that's the biggest thing, right?
He has replaced everything in his pantry. Yeah. Everything. All this guy's eating now, Cocoa Puffs. That's the only thing he eats now.
Yeah.
Because he's just gone completely crazy.
And it is this like thing, I actually have been thinking about this anecdote a lot recently in terms of like, I heard it at I went to like an info session for an MBA program, and they were talking about business, and they were like, it's a quote from Apple people or something hiring internally. And it's like, A people hire A people and B people hire C people. Like the idea of when you are good at what you do, you're not threatened by other people who are also good at what they do.
Yeah.
But when you're sort of not quite good enough, you're threatened by anybody that is good.
Yeah.
And you only want people that are lesser than you.
So the idea,
I've just been thinking about that just generally in my life recently and finding a lot of real life examples. I've also now brought it back into Arrow where I'm watching this and kind of being
That is a supervillain henchman thing,
It's a thing. It's the idea that Diaz, the quadrant are better than him.
Yeah.
And he's so threatened by them that he's taking them out, right? And it's this idea that it becomes obvious.
That's a very interesting dynamic because you look at it and you look at superheroes and what do? They all team up with each other and form the Justice League.
Yeah.
And then supervillains, sometimes they team up, but very rarely. And there's almost always a hierarchy.
And they always fight when they are. Yeah.
But most supervillains, what do? They get a whole crew of henchmen.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's people that are like lesser than them and they can just like feel better about themselves, right?
Interesting.
And it's like a psychological thing, right? Where it's like, and that's part of the thing, like when you become evil or a villain or do bad things, it's a lot of it is because of your own personal like psychological issues, right? So it just makes sense that would be a thing that you'd want to surround yourself by people that would make you feel better about who you are as a person. So anyways, thinking a lot about it, I think it's relevant to Diaz. And I just think it's one of those things that he's losing all the power that he has. By being so incredibly, I hate using the word crazy, but I'm going to use it again, by just going a little bit off the ledge and not quite being tactful. And she mentions it too. It's why he kills the other woman in the quadrant, right?
Yeah.
Is that because she starts to question him and starts to be like, why are you not using, like you before were using all of this, you were like tactical and you got power by this and now you're just wanting to kill him and create all this chaos. Like that's not structured. And he's like, I don't care what you think. And it's like the idea that like, it's different.
In the last scene, Felicity said that she wasn't going to do anything stupid. And the next scene, she's going to do something stupid.
Yes.
But it'll all work out. It's fine.
Yeah. So So the idea of not going, this is a great like Felicity moment. I miss these little moments where she just sort of like does stuff out of like, it's a really bad time for her to be having this conversation with Lila, but it's totally like a thing that Felicity's just like, how does that work? Like, how did you get it like that? It made me think that maybe somebody was going to die and they could only have this conversation right now. But anyways, Lila is like the only real person in this whole show. Like, honestly, like in terms of like her answers and her reactions to things.
Yeah.
And even just her as an actress, I feel like brings a little bit of gravitas to the role that like, because everybody else is like in it all the time, they might like get it, like lose a little bit of that. But she sort of brings us like her reaction to her, like asking this question was kind of like, this is really not the time. Like I'm about to go deal this. This is the cop guy that we don't like, right? That has been saying stuff.
He's going to die next week and it's going to be nice.
He's going to be redeemed. Going to figure out.
I don't mean anything by this, and I hope you don't take offense, Mr. Police Officer Man. I just hate his face. He just needs to get punched in the face. But it's also partially like how they light him. They always light half of his face.
Yeah.
So, and he's just always got this smug attitude. So I just like, I'm sure that when he smiles, he's a very nice, cheerful person.
And his eyebrows are so big.
Yeah.
Like it's so defined and such a, like, it's ominous. Like his eyes are just so like,
they've just done such a great job in this. Yeah. Of making him just so unlikable that I just want somebody to clock him so hard.
Why do these like poor IT guys always look so fresh faced and like really they really need to have like,
because nerds, Amanda.
I don't know. I guess
in reality, developers look nothing like that.
No, they don't. We have one developer at our studio that always wears like a 3-piece suit. Regardless of the weather, and is so like proper and put together and has like tea and like is just so interesting. Like the best dressed person I feel like I've encountered in like most of my life. But then there's also just like people that are random that are not wearing 3-piece suits to work. Nobody else at my work wears 3-piece suits.
No, everybody else is wearing jeans, a t-shirt, and a hoodie, right?
Yeah. If that. Like, we have fancy Fridays.
Are you guys allowed to wear shorts to work?
I wore this to work. Yeah. I wore these shorts.
Well, okay, but are guys allowed to wear shorts?
Yeah. You're allowed to wear absolutely whatever you want.
Women show up in the summer in my office, whatever they feel like. Whatever they feel like.
You're not allowed to wear shorts?
If I wore shorts to work, it would be like, hey, don't show up looking like that.
Oh, no way, really? Yeah, we like people wear sweatpants to work. Like the guys come in.
I don't know.
Straight
that,
sweatpants.
That might change this year because we're in a transition right at the moment.
But the difference is that you're kind of a public company. Like you have a public face. Like people probably you have customers that come in and stuff, right? No. Oh.
Very rarely.
Because that's the thing. I get it with a studio. Like if you have clients in, usually the people on your team maybe dress up a little bit, or production at least tries to make a little bit of an effort. And then, sorry, not sorry. I love that. Her just, like, wailing something at a tech guy saying sorry, not sorry. And Diaz totally almost killed Felicity. I thought he shot as Ollie did as well. That, like, and Felicity was going to get shot. Because, I don't know. Diaz was too calm
Right in the back chip?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fast forward.
Right in the
back chip. Yeah, just a reminder that Felicity is actually paralyzed from the legs down.
Yeah.
Something that you would think...
they would talk about
wouldn't
more.
Wouldn't be so trivial and ignored all the time.
I can't believe it. Like, it would have made the show so interesting to keep her in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been so, so interesting. I mean, obviously, they couldn't get her than, like, putting herself in unnecessary peril.
Well, or, like, you know...
different ways.
Sorry, I'm just waiting for the part where I get to play again. I don't want to miss it. I missed it. See, I missed it.
You missed it. Now we're back.
I'm super mild, the most mild lemon and herb spiciness on this spoiler for Infinity War, but you've had 2 weeks. Rhodey, obviously in Civil War, is paralyzed from the waist down.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right?
They deal with it, and
And it is a thing in Infinity War.
Yeah.
I mean, like it's not a plot point or anything.
No,
but
they
there is
deal
definitely
with
a
it.
Moment.
Yeah.
And there are, like, that is still a consequence.
Yeah, yeah.
It happened. Is he still War Machine? Is he generally fine? Yes.
Yeah.
right?
But he is still.
It was a thing. It happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And there are consequences of that, and there are interactions between characters that are important based on what happened at the end of Civil War.
Like, right? I kind of like the idea of even something like the serum that they use in future Days of Future Past or whatever to get Professor X to walk, right? Yeah. That there's, like, he's not cured. And, like, that's the thing with this chip.
No, he has to keep taking it, but it also takes away his powers.
It takes away his powers. Like, there's something of it that is, like, consequential. Yeah. And that's always been the biggest thing with this, is that you just put a chip in it and ignore the fact that she is actually paralyzed.
Except in the one episode where there's an EMP and then it's part of the plot.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's really, like, they just used it as, like, a...
Yeah, like, remember, this is a thing. But, like, I don't know, it's just a thing where it's like, I wish that...
I maintain the best consequence, and what they should have done last year, is that the chip is in her spine, and that, like, Dr. Octopus and Spider-Man 2, that it was basically, like, taking over and driving her crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and then it was cool, turning her into the new calculator.
Oh,
and
right,
that it would have been perfect because she'd be the calculator, because it's actually not Felicity that's the problem.
Oh, it's the
it's
chip.
The chip.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And
good.
The chip is actually, like, has some
that
sort of, like,
really
like...
Yeah, and then they have to take it out and then she becomes normal again.
Yeah, yeah. That there's, like, some sort of an intelligence in it or something like that.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
What, like, that we find out that there was actually, like, really low-grade version of whatever's in the T-spheres.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because Curtis is the one who helped her make it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, like, it was actually, like, the part of it that was processing...
Her nerves or whatever.
The neural stuff.
Yeah.
That it was actually, like...
corrupting
it was
her,
like learning from her, but learning bad stuff.
And
that's why she had joined the
Helix or whatever.
Helix, and all that stuff. And then she become the calculator this season. She'd be the bad guy.
So cool.
And then how do you set up a season? Because all of last season was you can't kill, you can't kill, you can't kill. You have to kill Prometheus.
Yeah.
He doesn't kill Prometheus, right? But then everything happens anyways. And then... your next season is all like you there's a villain that you the last thing you ever would ever want to do is it's not even ever an option
to
it's
kill.
Not
yeah,
like
to kill her yeah
right
yeah that would have been
like,
so good
because
yeah.
with Prometheus it was always like why don't you just kill him I can't kill him
right and but this one would be like you just can't kill him
yeah
anyways this is the moment, right? Like, she's calling him out on all of the things that he's doing that is
undermining and out of your depth,
right? And this idea of, like, her calling him on his inadequacies is what gets her killed, right? Like, the idea that he's so threatened by... because everything she's saying is right. Which brings me also back to... and I sort of mentioned this, like, sort of off the cuff, but it's totally true. If you're being roasted at the correspondence dinner, and you don't laugh when you're being roasted, it's because the things that are being said about you are true.
Yeah.
Like, it's the idea of, like, when you react so adversely. Like,
when you're, like, on the verge of tears because you're on a dais in front of 1,000 people. I don't know how many people are the correspondents,
but a lot.
Like, and somebody is, like, just destroying you with your own...
The things
that you've done wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, like, I don't know. It's the idea why Obama would laugh at those roasts. Like, he gets that.
Exactly,
not
everybody likes
him.
It's, like...
But he was doing an okay job.
Well,
like,
I mean,
that's the biggest
Obama
thing.
Gets up there and he's like, and he makes jokes about you know, they haven't filed my birth certificates yet, right?
Yeah,
it's like that stuff.
Like
he can get in on it. Yeah,
because
he knows that he was born in America.
Yeah. Anyways, not obviously cut and dry, and there's lots of nuance, but I just mean as a general rule, because I know that obviously, as in the episode of Gossip Girl I was watching recently, that sometimes saying something when it's not true means the other person wins and you just don't want to do it. That's fine. But also, actually, that's a bad example because in that, Blair did love Chuck and she just didn't want to tell him she loved him. So,
exactly.
You know?
Oh my God. I've never watched Gossip.
I know. You don't have to.
I'm sure I would probably enjoy it.
It's the best CW drivel. It was like classic CW before it was like a thing to be classic CW. That's not true. It was like...
Yeah, no, that's the CW was the WB and UPN looking at each other and going like,
we're the same.
We're doing the same thing, right? Can we just like
do it together?
Put them together.
Yep. We talked over a lot of the like character moments between Felicity and
Oliver.
And Oliver, But I don't feel like they're integral to this story.
She did the stupid thing, and he was mad that she did the stupid thing. Yeah. Here's an idea. If Felicity is going to be around all of the time, you've trained everybody else. Everybody else is allowed to have a gimmicky weapon.
Yeah. Why don't you
give Felicity something?
Yeah.
Fast forward through these commercials here.
Like, she's gotta do something. I don't know. It's just a weird thing for me. So why is there a Canadian commercial?
Because it's the CTV, because it was
preempted. Did you watch CTV? Preempted. Oh, I thought I watched the CW, but I still saw that commercial. Maybe I watched that commercial and something else. Maybe it preempted.
I don't
commercials.
Know.
Anyways, sorry for talking about the commercials. There was this mattress sale at the Brick, and I didn't buy a new mattress, and I really need a new mattress, and now I'm like mad at myself for not buying a new mattress. It seems like a big deal to buy a new mattress.
Crystal and I have, it's so stupid. We need a new mattress so bad.
We're back.
We have, at the home show, this year is the first time that we haven't done it. Like, 3 home shows in a row. They always have Sleep Country.
Oh,
always
yeah.
has, like, a big section in the middle. And we always, like, try the beds and then are like, this one's really nice. Should we just get it? And then they're like, well, you just put down a deposit and then, like, you know, you come in and we do the financing or whatever.
Yeah.
And we've done it 3 times and then it's like the deposit is fully refundable.
Oh.
So, like, do it and then we'll, like, it's like a couple months and then we're like, are we really going to do that? It's like, no, go get your $250 back, right?
Oh,
it's
my,
like,
God.
Yeah, it's the worst. We so need to funny. Just buy a mattress.
But they were really cheap at the Brick, and now I'm, like, worried the sale was over. Yeah, but it was, like, you could get a really nice queen mattress for, like, $800 or something like that. It was, like,
it's really good. It's such a big investment.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, it's probably one of the most important things you can buy. It's like buying a car,
yeah.
right? It's like, oh, a car is so expensive. Yeah. But it's a car.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Oh, a mattress is so expensive. But, like, are you getting good sleep?
It pays you, like, it costs you, like, a penny a sleep by the time you're, like, done with it,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
You should do that. You should just start putting, like, 10 cents next to your bed every time you go to bed. And you're like, I'm paying for this mattress. Like, from the time you start to get a mattress, and then you just pay for your new mattress. So until you've slept on it as much times as it cost it. Something. Anyways, I just love that we missed another, like, Diggle Lila cool, like,
yeah,
funny
moment.
They have good moments. Anyways, how do they not have any gas masks in this place? Like, they're like a bunker. Like, you would think that they would have something that they could put on. I don't know. Like, don't they, they're heroes. Don't they have to go into things? Don't they have bulletproof vests and oxygen and all sorts of fun things? Oh, I really did like that as they were going through. You could, like, the war training in Lila and Diggle really comes through, right? Because she grabs the oxygen mask, uses it on herself, and then hands it to him while she's shooting. Like, it's a really good, it was a really good sequence. I really enjoyed it. Watching the two of them get out there. And then Diggle and Lila getting out this secret entrance or whatever it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this is the first time we've ever seen the exterior of this building, honestly.
But also, my big thing is, like, where are they climbing up to? Like, are they underneath the building? Because they're all looking up.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing. They're all looking up at the building, and then these guys are climbing up the stairs. But aren't they supposed to go down the stairs to get to the entrance? Like, I'm very confused as to, like, but if this is a bunker, then maybe it is down. I don't know. Maybe it was a weird angle that they chose. Anyways, so Oliver, instead of shooting him, decides to run up to him. Like, why don't you shoot him with an arrow? You're literally called the Green Arrow. I just love how many times they use hi-ya. Anyways.
He's such a supervillain because he's just, I'm just going to taunt you. I'm just going to taunt you. Like, why haven't you killed him?
Yeah. He could have killed him a while ago.
Throw him down the stairs.
So that he's lying next to Felicity. It's a weird... Oh, yeah, and then he's going to blow stuff up.
Yeah.
And that was a conveniently placed explosion. You didn't know that was going to happen. Like...
Well, I mean, I think he probably did.
Well, I mean...
And or they got out of there just in time. And Diaz blew up with it. Except that he didn't for some reason. Because
those
next
definitely
week is the season
stunt finale. Doubles, right? We could sort of see their faces, but not really.
Yeah.
Whoa. They used so many fire explosions, like, effects in this episode.
Well, that one was fake.
Yeah, that was fake, but also the bunker stuff was fake, too. It was all explosion-y.
Fast-forwarding through this final commercial break.
Woohoo! I do love it when you get to the final commercial break and you're like, yes, no more commercial breaks. They are literally the worst thing. I hate commercial breaks. I just hate commercials. Was I talking about commercials on the podcast and my loathing of commercials, or was that just with you? About how much I loathe commercials.
We didn't get into it just a second ago, but you did bring it up.
Maybe.
I like commercials.
I like them if I choose to watch a commercial. That's the only time. Like, you know, Super Bowl commercials, where I, like, go to YouTube and literally look for the Super Bowl commercials. And then they don't have them, and you're like, why? Or when I watch movie trailers, and then there's a trailer in front of the movie trailer, and I'm like, I'm already literally watching a trailer.
Yeah.
Why would you put something in front of this? I'm literally watching a commercial for something. Anyways, sorry.
This does not look like a military installation, like a military facility.
That's because it's not a military
facility. I know, but it's like the blue lighting and stuff. It annoys me so much. There's no government building that looks this way. It's a total safety hazard.
But it's also not really a government building. It's like a weird... Don't they have the Suicide Squad in the basement or something like that? Like, yeah. It's, you know, it's not exactly a...
No, they're government funded. Argus is a government organization.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. But, like, they do nefarious things. That's where the blue light comes from. Anyways. Colin and William. I guess he's with Raisa. Like, where are they?
They're in an Argus safe house.
Oh, okay. Okay. Why don't they all just go into an Argus safe house and let Diaz take over the city? I really don't understand. Just move. Why don't you just go move to Flash City? Where's Flash live? Central City. Go live in Central City. And just not be a superhero. Just, like, chill.
Because with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say
that. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
If you don't do something, you're just as bad as the bad guy.
I mean, yes. But also not quite. But yes.
Like Peter says in Civil War, when you can do something and you don't do something, then it's on you.
Have you watched the John Mulaney Netflix special?
I haven't watched it yet.
It's worth watching.
Is there a Spider-Man thing in it?
No, there's a Nazi joke about, like, the idea of, like, you're being like, what were the people that, like, watched the Nazis do something and didn't do anything? Were they just as bad as Nazis? Yeah. And then he's comparing it to him sitting on the side of a playground while his friend gets beat up, and he's just using it as, like, okay. Why does your dad? Anyways, it all goes around to he does a whole Donald Trump segment without ever once saying Donald Trump's name. Nice. I thought it was, like, it's very nuanced and good. Anyways, he's funny. I like John
Mulaney. I will watch it probably this weekend.
It's not, like, ha 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 funny, but it's John Mulaney funny. Like, he's amusing.
I love John Mulaney. Yeah. He's so good.
Yeah. He's quite good. I liked it.
His SNL a couple weeks ago was really good.
Oh, nice. I didn't know.
So we've got the quiet guy and the talky guy from the quadrant.
All right.
This guy hasn't talked before, but now he's talking.
Yeah.
And then the other guy is just he's not really doing anything.
No.
I'm gonna go ahead and say he's not even really acting very much. he's just kind of there. He's more of a prop than he is a character.
That's what keeps him alive, because that's what Diaz wants.
It's true. It works out in his best favor. Just sort of be like,
I'm here.
Like, there's something really intense happening right next to him, and he's just kind of whatever.
Chilling. Yeah, it's fair. Well, now he's acting. He's like, look at all those, like, people in the background just, like, looking at him, being like, whatever. You just,
Kirk Acevedo is so good.
He is.
He's just so good.
He really
is. You don't even need the sound.
Oh, yeah. No.
Just his eyeballs.
Yeah.
Just those eyeballs.
To get the intensity of, like,
that touch. The way
he's so creepy.
He inappropriately invades other people's personal space.
Yeah, and, like, the way he's holding him, it's not like he's just holding him. It's like he's going to choke him, right? Yeah. It's, like, it's crazy. It's the,
I don't understand how this other guy is one of the leaders of the quadrant.
Because he's not... that's why he's still the alive leader of the quadrant.
I know, but he just does not exude the personality of a crime lord.
That's fair. So, remind me who this lady is. She's in charge of the government.
She was the FBI agent
that
was leading the investigation against Oliver Queen.
Gotcha. But then... She wasn't around, really. So she's the FBI, basically.
She had to go back to D.C.
FBI land. So he's now in D.C. talking to the FBI.
Or wherever the FBI is headquartered.
Quantico. I know that.
No, Quantico is where they train people.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. I think the FBI headquarters is in Langley.
But that's where Criminal Minds happens, is in Quantico.
Did they lie to me?
Langley. Not our Langley.
No, not our Langley.
Anyways, what's the second thing?
This. Dum, dum, dum. Yeah. Arrowed.
But she wasn't going to say anything. That was an intentional, like, end beat. I want to know what the second thing is, though.
Give me a coffee.
I hope the second thing is either something really mundane or like...
I hope it's, we come back next week and it's like, what's the second thing? And she's like, high five. And he's like, and Oliver's like, can't do it.
Yeah,
can't do it. No. I'm not giving you a high five right now. I can't do it. I'm sorry. Yeah. The city's going to burn.
Yeah.
That's the end of the season. And next year we come back and it's like 5 years later and it's like,
and the city's just, burning.
Yeah, the city's just burning.
Yeah. All right. Good times. I'm done.
Next week's the season finale.
That's crazy.
And then we're done for a while and then maybe we'll come back. We'll do some summer stuff.
You know what I really want? I want episode 7 to be really fun. Or season 7.
Season 7?
I want season 7 to be like exciting.
You know, I think that there's going to be some stuff that you're going to be pleasantly surprised about.
I hope so.
I think that there is.
Do you know things that I don't know?
I don't know if I do or not.
Oh, okay.
I can't confirm or deny because I have plausible deniability on anything that I've heard.
Of course.
Because I don't have reliable sources. Oh, but, yeah, fair. But I've definitely heard some things, and I won't talk about any of them. Nice. But
there's going to be some cool things.
If any of these things that I've heard are true, I think that, yeah. Okay. I think that we're in for a good season next year.
Nice.
It's all going to kind of hinge on whoever the
best is. Oh, there's also a new showrunner. So that's exciting.
Yeah, it's new showrunner.
Like, it's like going to be a good, it's like a clean slate.
And that's why, these things that I've heard, they have some credibility because I think that the show's going to get a bit of a soft reboot.
Yeah, totally it will.
With new showrunners. Yeah. Right? It's going to be very much like the difference between season 6 of Smallville and then going into season 7 and 8.
Oh, yeah, that was right? totally. That
when
was
the
like
show
totally
started to take
thing.
On a completely yeah. different personality. And like yeah. you get into seasons 8, 9, and 10, they're very different. It's a different show. Yeah.
Because it just becomes Lois and Clark at that point.
Yeah,
and
it does.
So great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Cool. Cool.
Cool beans.
Cool, cool, cool. Thank you guys for listening. As always, you can stay up to date with all the latest Arrow news by heading to quiverpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/quiverpodcast and on Twitter at quiverpodcast.
You can also follow us individually on Twitter. I'm at akonkin, akonkin, at an 86 of that for Instagram.
And I'm at arkwulf, arkwulf. And you guys know we are a part of the DC TV Podcast Network. Go to dctvpodcast.com to check out all that stuff. It's a good time. It's a good time because the Arrow is going to be wrapping up next week. That means it's time to get caught up on all of the shows that you've been neglecting.
Right,
so,
yeah, that's true.
Going into the summer, I'm going to be watching Black Lightning.
That's probably the easiest because it's only one season. So, yeah, I might
dive into
that one.
It's only one season. It's all on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I so
Riverdale
yeah,
seems cool.
Riverdale,
like,
is very
and that's
cool.
two seasons in. Two seasons so that might be. I might tackle Riverdale before I tackle Black Lightning.
I think that you but need yeah. to watch Riverdale.
Yeah,
for
I
sure.
think it's right up my alley.
That brings us to Thunderquack. We're part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network, and you guys can head to thunderquack.com. The website's like I'm chipping away at the update. It looks different. It's much cooler, but it's not as interactive. There's not as much to like sort of poke around and read. Mm-hmm. But you can find links to all of our other podcasts there at thunderquack.com. I'm really happy with the new logo though. I really, really like it. One of which is the Riverdale Gang podcast.
Yeah,
it is. Which Ryan and Chloe took over this season and have done an awesome job with.
Yeah, so fun.
Yeah, and Amanda was on an episode.
I was, yeah. I was.
Even though she's not watching
Ruby. Even though I'm not watching, it was an interesting episode.
Yeah. Cool. If you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com, pick up some merch, and you know, you get like a t-shirt, you get like a phone case, you get a scarf.
Get some cool summer things for yep. your summer to tide you over, but still feel connected to Arrow.
Totally. And the other way is to head to patreon.com/thunderquack. And support us over there. $1 gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast. We're going to have an exclusive Solo spoiler cast coming up, obviously, after Solo comes out in theaters. And we'll actually have a free spoiler cast as well for that.
Ooh.
So just like normal, we have our spoiler cast on YouTube, so that'll be there. But then you'll also have an exclusive one that's just for Patreon supporters.
All the Star Wars.
Yeah, because we like to double up on the Star Wars. Mm-hmm. If the DC movies were worth anything, we would do that as well. Because we would do... Yeah. DC. You and I would probably do an exclusive, and then everybody else could do the spoiler cast. But the DC movies, not really. There's not really.
I still like Justice League.
All right then. we don't need to get into that. It's late. That's it. Thank you guys for listening. And we will catch you guys. I have no idea. What is the season finale called?
I got out of my Arrow stuff a long time ago when I was looking at it.
The season finale. This time we're not blowing up an island.
Although maybe we will. Ooh. Oh, yeah, no, we know the end. We know this one.
Oh, I did not know this. We'll see you guys next week for the season finale, Life Sentence.
Stay sharp, Arrowheads. Thoughts about Life Sentence, like what that means. Like, I'm really excited by it. I totally remembered that was the name of the end of it.
You think he's gonna be outed as the Green Arrow?
Or like the idea.
I think it's because of what he said, right? Because what he said was.
Yeah, I'm the Green Arrow,
and then he said like if sentence, it, yeah, like yeah, he so has to be the Green Arrow.
He's gonna have to be the Green Arrow forever. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.